news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The public hearing phase of the impeachment inquiry into Donald Trump began Wednesday, not with the bang Democrats had promised, but with enough evidence that things were not running according to standard operating procedure when it came to our dealings with Ukraine to pique our interests, I hope. Perhaps the magnitude of the testimony is watered down a bit because we've already heard this. In our 24-hour news cycle, we hear all the details. In this case, most of what was said on Wednesday was information we had gleaned from the transcripts of the depositions given by the top U.S. diplomat to Ukraine, Bill Taylor, and Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, George Kent. Thankfully, Ambassador Taylor did offer the only bombshell of the day, one bit of new information, something that he had just learned about in recent days.
Last Friday, a member of my staff told me of events that occurred on July 26. While Ambassador Volker and I visited the front, this member of my staff accompanied Ambassador Sondland. Ambassador Sondland met with Mr. Yermak. Following that meeting, in the presence of my staff, at a restaurant, Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations. Ambassador Sondland told President Trump the Ukrainians were ready to move forward. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for. At the time I gave my deposition on October 22nd, I was not aware of this information. I am including it here for completeness. As the committee knows, I reported this information through counsel to the State Department's legal advisor, as well as to counsel for both the majority and the minority of this committee. It is my understanding that the committee is following up on this matter.
Schiff followed up on this testimony when it was his turn to ask questions.
Now, you testified in your opening statement, I do not believe the United States should ask other countries to engage in selective politically associated investigations or prosecutions against opponents of those in power, because such selective actions undermine the rule of law regardless of the country. The selective politically associated investigations or prosecutions against opponents of those in power, are you referring to the Bidens there?
I'm referring as a general principle about the promotion of the rule of law.
But that would apply to the President of the United States seeking an investigation of his political opponent, would it not?
It could be interpreted that way, yes, sir.
And I take it in your discussions, Ambassador Taylor, with Ambassador Sondland or others, what was communicated to you was that the President wanted investigations into 2016 and the Bidens, not into an oligarch named Zelensky or self-dealing, but 2016 and the Bidens. Was that your understanding?
That was my understanding.
And in fact, when you said your staff overheard this call between Ambassador Sondland and the President, in that call, the President brings up investigation, does he not?
He did.
And immediately after the President gets off the phone with Sondland, Sondland is asked by your staff, what does the President think about Ukraine? And his answer is, he's just interested in the Bidens, am I right?
He said he was more interested in the Bidens.
More interested in the Bidens. No discussion of Zelensky or Chalupa or things that happened 7 years ago. He was interested in the Bidens.
Yes, sir.
Trump was asked about this new information during a White House press conference with Turkish President Erdogan Wednesday afternoon. You know, the phone call he received from Sondland? Well, he claims he knows nothing about it. Yeah, sure. The action continues on Friday when the ousted former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Masha Yovanovitch, testifies. It will begin promptly at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Then on Friday afternoon, David Holmes, the aforementioned aide to Ambassador Taylor, who overheard the phone call in question, will testify behind closed doors. Testimony will also continue on Saturday with Mark Sandy, an official with the Office of Management and Budget. And next week, the public testimony will happen on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Stock up on the popcorn. On a side note, George Conway, Yeah, the husband of Kellyanne, a conservative Republican who's been very critical of Donald Trump, has declined all TV interview requests for many months. But on Wednesday, George Conway appeared on set at MSNBC, aside Nicole Wallace and Brian Williams, where he provided commentary on the first day of public hearings. He was unequivocal in his assessment of the president's culpability.
Goes to the credibility of the United States of America, right? Standing up for the values that the United States of America we thought stood for.
But I believe Ambassador Taylor and Mr. Kent made it very clear that we have significant national security interests in this part of the world, and the president of the United States was leveraging that for personal political gain. That is, in George's word, astonishing.
It's astonishing, and it's just a direct violation of his oath of office. It's foundational. And that this is the ultimate, and these are the words that we used when we wrote that op-ed when the scandal first broke, Neil. It's the ultimate impeachable offense. You can't, if you were going to make up a set of facts that was as bad as you could get, this would be it.
Like a law school test.
All like, right. Think of it, a president breaching his duties to the nation. This would be it.
A quick side note. We turned on Faux News just to see how they were covering it, and we got there just in time for the end of Tucker Carlson's show and his crossover with Sean Hannity, who follows him. Carlson had Dana Perino on for the most amazing toss of word salad I've heard. Then we stayed for a little bit of Sean Hannity's monologue, which was just straight out of Opposite World. At one point, Hannity said, quote, "The hearing was such a disaster, they actually brought in therapy dogs, presumably to help Democrats cope with the impeachment drama." That's not what happened at all. This was a long-planned day where teams of therapy dogs were camped out in House and Senate office buildings, offering their services to stressed-out Hill staffers. The dogs are all registered by a therapy animal organization called Pet Partners, which sponsored the event along with the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council. Officially, the dog's presence has nothing to do with impeachment. The animal's mission is to, quote, offer congressional staff a break from the stress of wrapping up an exceptionally busy year. It works. But Hannity, screw you. It had nothing to do with the impeachment. Get a life. Or pet a dog. They work wonders. In other news, a federal appeals court in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday ruled that House Democrats can obtain Donald Trump's financial records, setting up a potential Supreme Court challenge. The D.C. Circuit Court judges declined a request from Trump to have the court's full bench of judges hear the case after a three-judge panel in October denied his request to shield his accounting firm from having to comply with a lawmaker's subpoena. The ruling does not mean the Democrats will immediately have access to Trump's records. Trump's lawyers have already indicated they would appeal to the Supreme Court. Prosecutors closed their criminal trial of Republican political strategist Roger Stone on Wednesday. Stone, as you know, is on trial for charges that include lying to Congress, witness tampering, and obstructing a congressional proceeding. On Wednesday, prosecutors ended their argument by saying, in no uncertain terms, that they believe Stone lied about his involvement with WikiLeaks in 2016 and that he did so with the singular motivation of protecting Donald Trump. Stone's attorney claims his client didn't know that Russians were behind the 2016 hack into Democratic Party servers and that he had no motivation to lie. Sorry. Stone pleaded not guilty to all the charges against him. The jury began deliberations Thursday morning. And in more disturbing climate news, the highest tide in decades has submerged more than 85% of Venice in floodwaters, causing catastrophic damage to the Italian city and its monuments. The city's mayor blamed climate change for Venice's second worst flooding on record, declared a state of emergency, and said the city will, quote, need everyone's help to overcome these days that are putting us to the test. And finally, we're less than 3 months away from the Iowa caucuses, the official start of voting in the Democratic Party presidential primaries. The filing deadlines to be on the ballot in Alabama and Arkansas have already passed, and others are coming up quickly. But that doesn't stop Deval Patrick. Who, you ask? Well, the former governor of the state of Massachusetts has made it official. He is jumping into the 2020 Democratic presidential primary race. By the way, to take this job, Deval Patrick would have to leave his current position at Bain Capital. The more you know. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Explore a bit, and I hope you'll stop on that donate page.